The WBEN All Local.
All Local.
A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
Today marks 4 years since the mass shooting that took 10 lives at the Tops on Jefferson Avenue. WBEN's Jim Fink looks at how Buffalo's East Side community is moving forward.
On that tragic May 14th day from 4 years ago, Darius Pridgen wore two very intertwined hats. Pridgen was pastor and now bishop at True Bethel Baptist Church on the city's east side, but he was also Buffalo Common Council president and represented the Ellica district that covers a significant portion of the east side. Pridgen knew his Sunday, May 15th service and sermon would be like none that he'd ever held in his nearly 30 years on the pulpit.
So on that day, I had to literally suck it up and do my job. There was no room for my emotions once I entered the sanctuary.
Yes, he was hurting, but Pridgen knew he had to be the voice of calm and of reason. It was, he said, the toughest service and sermon he had ever delivered. And as much as Pridgen was sad and angry about the attacks on the Tops Jefferson Avenue shoppers, he also knew there were 10 Buffalo families who were 100 times more angry and more sad.
To this day, I haven't had a time where I felt that I had an adequate time to grieve, because I've never felt it was fair for me to grieve when 10 families were grieving at a much higher level than myself.
This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
Jim, thank you. Sabres-Canadiens Game 5 tonight. The series tied at 2 games apiece. Lindy Ruff knows one of the major keys to winning tonight, taking a lead in the series, staying out of the penalty box.
No, I think it's part of the playoffs. It just is. You know how important a power play can be. So you get a stick on somebody, you got to be careful with your sticks. You know if they have a chance to make the play look worse than it is, they're going to. It's playoff hockey. Every team in this league does it. And it's an understanding that keep your stick off them. I mean, the little push that Thompson gave their player, I don't think that's called in the regular season. But in the playoffs, it's called. So tell our guys not to do it.
Yeah, it's flop city in Montreal. But now we're back in Buffalo, so maybe things change just a little bit. Buffalo took 16 minutes of penalties in Game 4. Seven times they took a trip to the box. It was excruciating to watch as a fan. You're hoping that the same thing won't happen for a couple reasons. One, they're going to be a little bit smarter with their stick, but also two, they're back at home, not in Montreal, and maybe they're watching out for some of the flopping.
Right. Also, how about this? May 14th, 1998, 28 years ago today, Sabres swept the Canadiens, were on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Hey, all right. So, always good to look back in Sabres history, try and grab whatever I'll take
whatever I can get here. We're looking at weather, too, before the game and during the game at KeyBank Center.
It's going to be not the most pleasant evening. And we've got some scattered light rain showers and mist, cloudy and damp. Temperatures will be right around 50 degrees. So not a soaking rain by any means, but, not the most or the best conditions to be outside in.
That's Jim Mitchell at the National Weather Service. And this is the last really cool day around here for a while. We start a warming trend tomorrow.
Like to hear that. Well, Sabres have plans for Game 6 on Saturday night. New information about the watch party at KeyBank Center. Doors will open at 7, puck drop scheduled for 8. You need a ticket to enter. It's general admission, but you need a $5 ticket. All proceeds benefit the Sabres Foundation. There will be free parking at the Sabres lots. And the ESPN broadcast will be shown on the video board. Other things going on in the arena, so you have a in-arena watch party option for Saturday night.
And with the conflict between the U.S. and Iran going slowly, oil supplies remain squeezed as ships continue to avoid the Strait of Hormuz. That has had a major impact on wholesale prices. Goods delivered by trucks going up higher and higher, up 6% in just the last month. And technology correspondent Jolene Kent has more on that.
Do you think you're going to have to raise prices?
Absolutely, but we're going to do it carefully.
In Burbank, California, Alan Arzoyan has owned Handy Market for over 50 years.
We can't be competitive. Our wholesale prices have increased so much, and people lose that extra spendable income. I guess we'll all be ordering from Amazon.
What do you think grocery prices are going to look like in the next 6 months?
Well, if they continue like they have in the last 3 months, you're looking at inflation of a minimum of 0.5% per month.
And right now, looking at gas prices around here, the average this morning, $4.58 a gallon.
Wow, that's a shout up, and everyone's kind of noticed it around Western New York. Well, Iran seizing another oil tanker, this time off the coast of the UAE.
Iran appears to have seized another commercial ship, this time off the east coast of the UAE, outside the Strait of Hormuz. According to the British military, the ship is now steaming toward Iranian waters. The incident marks the latest escalation over the vital strait. Iran maintains it now controls it. This morning at a BRICS economic summit in New Delhi, Iran's foreign minister said the strait is open to commercial vessels only if they cooperate with the Iranian Navy. In Dubai, Lucas Tomlinson, Fox News.
More than 1,700 passengers and crew are stuck on a cruise ship. No, not that one. This is a different one. After another outbreak of a virus.
The Ambassador cruise line ship Ambition was midway through a 14-night cruise from the UK visiting ports in France and Spain. After guests boarded in Liverpool, England, people started reporting cases of gastrointestinal illness, 49 now in total. With the ship in the French city of Bordeaux, everybody's been ordered to remain on board. Ambassador Cruise Line says a 92-year-old male passenger died on Sunday, although he'd not reported symptoms consistent with the illness. Authorities say there's no link to the deadly hantavirus outbreak on the MV Hondius. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Boy, not good timing for this one.
No. Well, there will be a record number of NFL games played in other countries this season.
A record-breaking 9 NFL games will be played across 4 continents, 7 countries, and 8 stadiums next season, says a statement from the league. Melbourne, Australia, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, London, Paris, Madrid, Munich, and Mexico City will all host games as part of the league's long-term commitment to global expansion. The first international contest will be Thursday, September 10th, with the San Francisco 49ers and Los Angeles Rams at the Melbourne Cricket Ground.
Okay, you got a lot of these games where, 9 different games internationally in Australia, Brazil, England, France, Spain, and Germany.
I hate the international games. It just disrupts the team's rhythm.
I generally don't care about it that much. What I hate is that now there's so many of these games. If you couple the international games with the games on Christmas, the extra game on Thanksgiving, the games they're putting on Saturday night, they're moving the opener now to Wednesday night.
Yeah.
There's like two. Sunday is no longer football day.
No.
Sunday, there's like 3 games on every week. There's hardly anything. Because you got all these games scattered all over the place, and you don't know when. I mean, it used to be, all right, Sundays we play football, and then, you know, maybe a Monday night here and there, I get a little wild with things. Or, you know, maybe it happens on a Thursday. Whoa, you're getting pretty crazy now. Now it's just any day of the week, whatever.
You know what?
Anytime, any place.
It's only Tuesday's the only day off during football.
It's crazy. So you got all this going on with the schedule. And now how does it impact the Bills? Well, we'll find out their full schedule later on tonight. But all the schedule rumors, you know, some of these NFL insider accounts who have some knowledge of the schedule say that games like the Chiefs at Bills game will be Thanksgiving night this year. What do you think about that?
At the new stadium. I think it's going to be a problem for a lot of people, but
others
may like it.
8:30 kickoff on Thanksgiving at home. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be. Thanksgiving brunch if you have tickets to that one, I'm guessing. You know, for other people, though, you know, for me, I like it. 8:30,
right.
I mean, 8:30 by Thanksgiving,
it's over.
Usually starting to wind down and go watch the game. That should be a lot of fun. Also rumored that the Bills will play on Christmas, too. So, I don't know.
Let's see.
I could do one or maybe the other, both.
I hate the idea of both.
Slow down here, football.
Right.
We got stuff to do. You know, like, you don't rule my entire life, no matter what you think.
The exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast calls for a gloomy afternoon, along with scattered showers, some areas of drizzle as well, and temperatures remaining into the 40s for our overnight, also beginning to dry out into our Friday. Highs Friday will be in the mid and lower 60s, partly sunny skies, more sunshine into the weekend, although also a chance for some rain and temperatures that will be rising into the 70s. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Autumn Lewandowski.
Joining us on the Bison Automotive Live Line, the Reverend Mark Blue. We're talking about 4 years since the tragedy on 514, the mass shooting that took 10 lives at the Tops on Jefferson Avenue in Buffalo. Reverend Blue, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I just want to start with, you know, 4 years later. How are you remembering today?
Well, I'm remembering today as a day, not only a somber day, but also a day in which progress is being made on the 514 Memorial Healing Center. We are sending out all of our prayers to all of the families, and not only the families of those lives that were stolen from us, but also the survivors, the individuals that were in the Tops and in the surrounding area. It's going to be a day in which we will always remember for the rest of our lives, but we want to just be encouraging to those families and letting them have their moment of grief and not try to put more on them. So we are remembering this as a somber occasion, but also an occasion in which we have learned to persevere through.
Reverend, many people are taking part in a day of service today. Many will be at the remembrance at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Top store. But for those not going to be there, what do you want them to do today or to think about?
Take time for themselves, because everybody's healing process is different. Their grieving process is different. Take time for yourself. Have that moment of reflection, which we will always have. But it's, self-maintenance is very important. We need to take time for ourselves. We don't do that enough. This time, this day has always been full of activities. But for those who are going through and grieving, take time for yourself. Take time with your family. Enjoy your family.
You mentioned that there is progress being made on the 514 Memorial. There's a lot of questions as to, you know, what exactly is being done there and where this process is. What can you tell us about what happened this week?
Well, this week we did hire a construction manager, and the construction manager will help us to really get the accurate estimates as and timetable for when the monument Memorial Healing Center can be built. We'll have more actual and real numbers that we can give out to the community, so they'll know exactly how much it will cost for this to happen. And we're looking at roughly about, and maybe within the next 2 to 3 months, we will have another update on real cost. And also, we are in the soft phase of our capital campaign. So it's moving quite rapidly compared to other memorials and that have been done. We have had the advantage, and I say that not happily, but I say we've had the advantage of looking at what others have done and not duplicating some of the errors or mistakes or pitfalls that they ran into, because we've been talking to them. And by having that communication, we were able to move at a much more rapid pace because, unfortunately, of the tragedies that has happened in our past in our country.
This memorial will be built at Jefferson and Best, and I realize you don't have the true cost of it, but how much money has been raised, and what is the goal right now?
Well, the goal is to raise as much money as we can, but right now we have about $7 to $8 million that has been committed to the project. And we are hoping to raise another 15 to 20 million, because we would like for this not only to be done one time, but to be maintained and taken care of in forever, in perpetuity. So, you know, it's a fundraising venture that will happen on a regular basis, because we want to make sure that our community is being serviced and that it's not just a one-time incident of a building being done and then forgot about. But, you know, we're trying to raise as much as we can to make sure that it is taken care of in perpetuity.
You know, we've reached the point now where it's been so long, there's been so many meetings, there's been so much money involved, that a lot of people are wondering, you know, hey, why haven't we just used this money for something else to better the community instead of this memorial project? You mentioned not just being a building. How, in your mind, is this memorial going to be a benefit to the surrounding community?
Well, it will be a place of solace, a place where people can heal, a place where people can reflect, a place where people can learn. We will be partnering with other organizations to have different services at this particular site on Jefferson and Bess, which we haven't had in the past. It will be a place where even artists can show their works. So it's going to be a ever-evolving place in which we can come and learn and come and receive any of the services that we need for the community. We're not trying to be a first. We're trying to bring other entities and other organizations together for healing. We also want this to be a place where even the schools can come and learn about what has happened and learn how we can be a vehicle and a pinnacle to teach that racism is learned behavior and it can be unlearned. So it's going to be a great place, not only locally, but I believe even internationally, people will come and see how we persevered and how we made a difference in our community to help eradicate racism and the prejudices that are in our society.
You know, Reverend Blue, you always say that you have one chance to get this right. With that said, are you satisfied with every decision that's been made so far?
Yes, I am, because it's heavily community involved. We're doing focus groups even currently right now. At the very beginning of this, we started by having the community share their input as to what needs to be done for our community, for healing, for our community, for uplifting. As you can see, a lot of things are happening on Jefferson right now, and community redevelopment. So it fits. This is going to be a place where people will want to come and want to share not only their experiences, but even have physical activity, even have yoga. There's a lot of unlimited possibilities in which we are still developing for this site and for this building. It will be used all year round. And one of the things that we need to do is to know that our children need this learning opportunity as well as our adults to help in the grieving process. So, you know, we are working with heavily community input as to what we're doing and going forward.
All right. Well, Reverend Blue, thank you for joining us this morning. Reverend Mark Blue is a big part of that 514 Memorial Foundation.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.